If only Bill Callahan could run a football team. Bill Callahan can recruit, but the best thing he does, he is the best offensive line coach in the NFL. Watching highlights of the Browns' victory last night over the Broncos, the way they move guys off the line and then the technique and the effort. You can say a lot about old Bill C, but he can coach offensive line. And he's the best offensive line coach in the NFL. All right, welcome back in, 12:32. Here is Mike. Mike, thanks for the call. Welcome to the show.
Hey, I think you hit on it. Bill Callahan being our offensive line coach next year.
What do you think that conversation would be like, or that phone call, Mike? Do you think you call up old Billy C up in Cleveland, and he picks up the phone, he sees the 402 area code? First of all, when he sees a 402 area code that is not in his phone as like a former player or a current player, do you think he just blocks it, sends it to voicemail?
anything's possible. But when Munson said what a loss losing Teddy Prochaska was, did you agree with him?
Yes.
Me too.
Because I think that's twofold there, Mike, because Teddy was in a nice little groove, and the more game reps that he gets, the better. And I think he was really starting to get comfortable, and he was holding his own, and I could tell he's very cerebral. He was learning from his mistakes on the fly. I mean, he's far from a finished product. It just, you go down with a knee injury that takes you out the rest of the year, and it's probably going to be one of those injuries that's going to take him a while to rehab. So, you know, is he going to be on the field in the spring? It was a significant loss. Plus there was some stability. Now, you didn't have to worry about that side of the line that, okay, he's going to be in here for a game, and we're going to have to pull him. I think he had some stability.
And don't you think putting him in there made you better at two positions?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, Turner Corcoran on the other side looked like he was more comfortable.
Yeah, it's devastating. And Gary, when you think about losing a – I mean, think about it. You lose a freshman tackle, left tackle, to injury, and it's devastating to the team. But what does that say, you know, about your line when that's the case? I mean – remember that Osborne's first national championship, and by the way, they had a slogan, right? Unfinished business.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you insult a Minnesota coach when you talk about slogans. When you have a slogan, and the team that won Osborne's first championship had a slogan, and hey, he got back at him. But remember that first team had a great line, but a lot of them left, right? And then you had a lot of new guys on the line the next year, which was even better.
Nope. Well, the 94, 93, 94 offensive line, that stretch, you're too deep. I mean, you could, the starters and the backups could be starting at any team in college football.
Yeah.
But here's the thing with this year, and that stretch of line play stands by itself. I mean, but we don't do those guys any favor by trying to compare. But what has happened with this current group is they're still trying to build depth. But what happened to your two tackles from last year? Whether you thought Benhart was going to blow the doors off or Corcoran after he got his feet wet against Rutgers and we probably read too much into it, the fact that they have not been able to elevate their game consistently this year when they are frontline guys and Benhart is in his second year as a starting tackle, I think is concerning about what is happening in non-Saturdays to get these guys ready to play. I mean, that's if I'm assessing where Greg Austin is during the course of this season or at the end, those two guys I'm looking at, because it's not like you're going to cut them loose because you need them.
Oh, yeah. And tell me this. Here's a trivia question for you. What Husker in any sport referred to himself as a sportsman?
I'm going to guess it's probably an offensive lineman.
Actually, Alex Marich.
Oh, okay. So we were doing a different sport.
Yeah, but I've never heard Husker, and I think that's been an Australian thing, you know, coming from a foreign country where they refer to him that way. But did you know Marich personally?
I did not.
Because remember, when he came, you know, we thought that was probably going to be an NBA guy, and, you know, he was maybe pretty close.
And he went. He played professional basketball overseas for a while. I think he went back to his home country. He was. You know what? He probably doesn't because he wasn't on the greatest of teams. He was a solid Big 12 player.
Yeah, absolutely. What's Frost's record against winning teams? Do you know? We know he hasn't won a game against a rated team, but what's the record against winning teams?
I can't tell you off the top of my head. This year they have one win over a Power 5 team. Without looking it up and researching it, Mike, I know it's not very good.
Yeah, I think it's pretty depressing. So I agree with you, losing Teddy Prochazka. And how about Yant? Weren't people super excited about how he did against Northwestern? And I know people close to the program were saying, we haven't had a guy this big that can run like that. And look what's happened since. Going the wrong way, pulled out, tripping.
He went the wrong way against Michigan, so they pulled him right away.
This
is his explanation for why he hesitated and led to the trip. Is if you go back and watch that play, guy that we were just talking about, Mike, check out 54 trying to block somebody.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Yeah. So, hey, but here's the thing. You know what Trev said before the Northwestern game? I think it was before that game, that we could be undefeated. And then we killed Northwestern. We could have beat Michigan. We easily could have beat Wisconsin. As crazy it is, we could still be undefeated. And I think we can win the rest of the games. I know it sounds crazy. You got to win the first one, win the play. And Ohio State, hey, they've lost before. They got a new quarterback. We got a defense. And on a given day, look what they did in the second half against Minnesota. Look what they did against Michigan State. It's crazy. I mean, this is the craziest year.
Anything could happen. Ohio State is not the Ohio State that was playing in September. I think they're a scary team.
True. No doubt.
Mike, thanks for the phone call. I said yesterday, it felt like after Minnesota, the season ended. Maybe the season ended after Michigan. That was the game. Whew. Back-to-back, a winning streak. Win over a top 10 team. Things are starting to stack. Won a game thoroughly. Beat a ranked team. Wasn't the prettiest, but came back to win the game. Now, I'm a believer. And you lose a game like Michigan in the way that it ended, you're right back.
Gave it everything you had and nothing.
So the signature win and the impact, I do believe. But it is before the game and then afterwards how you handle it. And this hasn't been a program that handles the before, the game, and then the after. Having trouble just stacking games, stacking performances. I'm going to need to for the last four games. Try and stack performances against three teams that are very similar. Two teams that are very similar. Ohio State and Purdue will throw the ball around the yard. But I think the last part of the season, the focus will be on the offense. How will the offense handle the defenses that they're going to see coming out of the bye? Purdue, Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Iowa. Statistically, three of those four are top 20, and the other, post-Oregon, is starting to get there. That's a scary proposition for an offense that's going to have to find something new with the offensive line that they currently have. All right, 12:40. We'll take a quick break. Dirk is going to join us coming up at 1. Dirk went back and went through all of these one-score losses since Scott has been the head coach in Lincoln. He ranked them. He discussed them. We will talk about them when Dirk stops by coming up at 1. The Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.